James Gilliland, and James, I've talked to you before, and we were in Laughlin, and the tape didn't turn out, and Larry Dickin, our producer, tells me that you told him that happens.
Yeah, it happens quite often. I always have trouble with electrical, you know, equipment around me. I went in and did a couple tapings into TV at the TV station, and their motherboard blew out both times, so...
Well, we decided we'd do it by about 2,500 miles distance. Maybe we'll make it okay. So we talked about Trout Lake a little bit before, but first of all, let's give the background of the listeners a little bit about you. You have I guess we call it a ranch. That's what you're out west. It wouldn't be a farm. It's and you're at the You where you are, why don't you tell people about it? And you've had a long history of UFOs around there, right?
Yes, they've had, it goes back in Yakima Nation. We're right next to the Indian Reservation, and they have a long, long history of activity there that they have in their records, and even legends about how they used to take their elderly and their sick up to the opening. There's an underground base there, and they used to take their elderly there, and when they got sick or ill, and they'd bring them back, you know,
totally they'd be healed, huh? It was kind of a, have you ever seen that place up close?
You know, what we see is we see ships coming in and out, and they don't even slow down, but the place we see them going in and landing, there's nothing there. We've gone up and scoured that area, and there's nothing there where we see them going in and out. They seem to be able to shift some kind of dimensional shift and then reappear or materialize.
Yeah, I guess for lack of a better term, we call it a portal.
Yes.
And it seems like they don't slow down.
No. I mean, you're waiting for an impact or something to hit, and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing watching it.
Why don't you give me a little background, a little bit about what you've been doing for the last year and a half. I know you've been, people can come up there and camp, right?
Yeah, we've had probably over 3,000 eyewitnesses now that have seen the ships, and we've got top physicists, and we have aerospace and, you know, physicists, we've got nuclear physicists, biophysicists, all kinds of people that have come up and seen these ships, and they said they just don't fit any parameters, you know, of known parameters that we have.
Why don't you give us a little geography lesson about where you are in Washington?
Well, we're next to Mount St. Helens, which is erupting at the...
Right, as we speak almost.
Yeah, we're Mount Adams, it looks like it's almost at the foot of Mount St. Helens, but it's very, very, very docile mountain. It hasn't done anything for thousands and thousands of years. But it's right next to the Yakima Nation. Is a lot of the mountain itself is on the reservation, and then there's the Gifford Pinchot National Forest. Our ranch is right next to that.
And do you have camping spaces and things for people, or a bunkhouse, or?
We have people come out and camp. We've got 3 rooms that people come out and stay in the room sometimes. It's getting to be winter there, right?
Yeah, that was my next question. They get snowed in probably in the wintertime.
Yeah, it's tougher in the winter, and we usually, you know, tell people it's better to try, you know, come out in the summertime.
So when would a good time be, from May on?
Yeah, actually the end of March on, you know, the best times I've seen are around July and August. We seem to have the most sightings.
That's when you have more sightings during the summer.
Yeah, a lot more activity, and plus it's warm and we're outside, you know, so
it gets pretty cold in Hawaii.
We usually get our snow, you know, right before Christmas.
Now do you have a way for people to get a hold of you? I mean, do you have why don't you go ahead and give a number or an address or something?
The best way to get a hold of us is through the website, and that's eceti.org. It's eceti.org. Or they can call 509-395-2092 and be patient with us, because we're in and out a lot. I'm on the road quite a bit, so it might take me a day or two to get back to you.
What do you do most of the time up there?
Well, right now I'm working actually with a biophysicist, and we created some products that one is called Aquarius Water, and it's crystallized oxygen water.
Yeah, you told me a little bit about that when I was in Laughlin with you. And it's pretty impressive. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about that?
Well, it's amazing. Oxygen is the highest systemic antibiotic you can get. And with all the biologicals people are dealing with today, it's the answer, basically. Because if you watch what it does to viruses and bacteria, it actually pops them on contact. And they go from a complex structure back to a crystalline structure, and it reabsorbs it. But he can take water and... he made some microhydrogen out of it, so it goes into your body immediately. It's not like regular water. It's a smaller molecule, a smaller cluster. And he also suspends this crystallized oxygen, which he broke all the laws of physics to do it. And he suspends that in the water. And it's, you know, it's a godsend for humanity. So I when I met him and I saw what he was doing, I dropped everything. And for the past 5 years, I've been working, helping him to get this.
How do you distribute it? In bottles or something?
We have the main distributor, the main place where we make the water is actually in Eugene, Oregon. And it's taken from a very deep well. It's the origins. And then from there, it goes through about probably $5 million worth of equipment.
What you drink it all the time as a substitute for regular water, or you just drink a bottle of it a day? Or what do you
it's
do?
It's like a medicinal water. You want to, you know, drink... if you can, drink as much as you can.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I drink about at least a quart a day of the water. You know, sometimes I'll drink actually 2 quarts. Man.
And what exactly does it do for you?
Well, it oxygenates the blood. It kicks on your mind. You know, it brings the, you know, blood oxygen increases immediately after you drink the water. That's measurable. There's a lot of claims about water and super oxygenated water. But a lot of these bottles, as soon as you open the lid, it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't really do anything. The proof in the pudding is if you take an oximeter or a oximeter, put it on your finger, they have them in the hospitals, which measures your blood oxygen, and you drink the water, you can watch the dial go right up as you're drinking the water. It works that fast. It's amazing. You know, and even a cancer cell is anaerobic. You know, cancer hates oxygen, so... so there's a lot of...
Is this stuff expensive?
It's not. It's about $20 a gallon. It's not much more expensive than your regular bottled water people are buying off the shelf.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, they can go to AquariusWater.org if they want to find out more or even order the water.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about Trout Lake before we get anyplace else. Where is that exactly from you?
Well, Trout Lake is... we're in Trout Lake, actually, the ranch
uh-huh.
itself.
Uh-huh.
And Trout Lake is basically, you know, a little mini store and a gas station and not too much else. That's about it. It's a really small town. But
well, what sort of things have been happening there?
Oh, just everything. We've got, you know, we've got 40 hours of footage of these ships doing everything imaginable. We've had as many as 60 witnesses see these ships at a time, and they'll come in and they'll respond to the people on the ground.
So if I respond, like if you flash a light or something, they'll flash back?
Or if you send a telepathic message, and when they come by, we say, light it up, and you send the thought out, people are going, light it up, and the ship will just explode into a brilliant, you know, blue or purple light.
Are these ships, are they big or small or different sizes?
No, we've had them come in every... size, shape, and color. We've had pink ones, green ones, blue ones, white ones. We've had giant cylinder ships. We've got a picture of one of them. We have these triangle ships that everybody's seeing. We have three separate footages of the triangle ships coming over, and they're immense. They're very big.
Do these things make noise?
No, they don't. Actually, the only noise I actually have on our website, you know, if you go to eSETI.org, you can go and actually listen to the sound of a mothership that was hovering over Portland State University. But it was sending a very deep, and I think what they were doing there is they were, a lot of people don't realize that the very deep pulses, the deep pulses are the healing pulses. And those are the ones that transmit a lot of information and healing energies and things of that nature. And this ship was just sending out this very, very deep pulse, and we actually have it on the site. You can click on the site and listen to the pulse coming off that ship.
And when you say they make a healing noise or dimension or whatever. Have you, you mean people that are sick and be around these ships and all of a sudden they're healed? Well, explain that.
Yeah, basically they're quiet. You usually don't even, you don't hear anything. You know, they usually do pretty amazing light displays. You know, they'll come in and do a big sweeping turn and or make a right angle turn, or they'll just blink on and then turn off and on, or they do all kinds of things. But you very, very seldom hear anything. I mean, I had one go treetop level, a giant triangle ship go right over my head, and I didn't hear a sound, anything. And but this one was doing something over the university, and that's why it was sending this pulse out. It was working with some kind of sound and energy on the university students, actually.
Did you get any reports back from the university about what
it was
doing?
Well, what was really interesting is that all of a sudden a lot of people showed up from the university, including people that saw the ship and filmed it as well. So,
Well, tell me a little bit about the experiences there at Trout Lake. They see all of these people, see these ships of all shapes and sizes. Have any landed? Or they just kind of crash into the ground, go
we've
away,
had,
or what?
We've had, I had actually one landing on the ranch. It just sat there and hovered for a minute, and the field workers saw it. And unfortunately, I wasn't there, and it scared them so bad, they took off and left, you know. But
so you don't know really what happened at Rutland?
No, it landed, and there have been, in the very beginning, when the first contacts happened, I had one face-to-face contact with them, so I know who they are, and they kind of explain to me what's going on.
Well, let's talk about that for a minute. Who are they?
Well, the ones that I contacted were ones that a lot of others are Nordic-looking.
Yeah, I understand from our conversation we had before that they're actually almost perfectly.
Yeah, they're beautiful. Their genetics are very, very refined.
I believe in our conversation, and I don't think I've got this mixed up. It was about a year and a half ago, but there was a woman involved.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, her name is Blagie, and she's a feminine. And she.
See, I was paying attention, even though the tape didn't
work. You know what's incredible with them? They're beautiful, but they radiate an energy, an extremely loving, joyous presence. And you just, when you meet these beings, you just fall in love with them, basically.
Right. When you say radiate with energy, you mean they have lots of charisma, or they actually glow in the dark?
It's just an energy field that you have. If you're sensitive, you just feel at peace. You feel like giddiness, like a real joy. And it's like meeting, you know, a long-lost relative or something. It's very hard to explain. It's just all of a sudden you just feel this extreme happiness.
How did your contact come about?
It was strange. I've had two contacts. The first contact, I was actually in bed, and, you know, the next thing you know, I was out of bed and standing on a ship. And I think they did some kind of they have extremely advanced technology, so they can just beam you up whenever they want. And that was the first contact. I actually flew with them in the ship very shortly, just in the area, and they flew next to a fire tower. And we observed the people in the fire tower who were kind of freaking out when it was happening. And I could see they were projecting energy to them. And then they calmed down and they drew pictures and you know, of the ship and everything else. And then the next thing you know, I was back in my bed thinking it was a dream or, you know, or overactive imagination or something like that. But it just felt way too real, you know, to be a dream. And then I saw the same family on a local TV show called Town Hall. And they're talking about the ship that hovered right in front of the tower. And the kid showed the pictures that he drew of it and everything else. So
that matched your memory. So you figure it was.
Yeah, and I said, so you know, if these people saw this in the physics and I experienced it, you know, this had to be a physical experience. It, you know, it started making sense to me. And then I had another experience, which with a little more highly evolved group of beings, and they have the ability to take you right out of your body. You know, a lot of people think they just have a body and a personality and that's it, but, you know, we have bodies within bodies, and we're actually...
What do you mean by that? You mean the other body is a soul, or...
Yeah, our soul. When our body dies, our soul actually leaves the physical body, and it's been actually measured. It has a weight, and there's been a lot of research in that. And they can actually take your spiritual or soul out of your body, take you on the ship, have a conversation with you, you know, enlighten you to quite a few things, and then put you back.
Well, when you've used the term enlighten a couple of times, what does this mean exactly? Is it a spiritual experience, a religious experience? What is it?
I wouldn't call it religious. I would call it more of a spiritual experience, because they've transcended all religious barriers. You know, they're beyond that. You know, but they it's a transference of higher consciousness and energy. That's the only way I can explain it. The one event I happened, there was actually a beam before they took me up on the ship that went right through the wall and hit me in the chest. And there's actually a picture of it on the website. And you can see it left actually a burn mark in the middle of my chest, and three golden balls of energy came down this beam, and one after the other. And then the next thing you know, I was on the ship, and what they told me is that my everything has been returned, like my memory of my past, everything, and my connection, why I'm here, the whole nine yards. And it was in those three golden balls of energy that hit me. And I told her, I said, well, I want proof that this is a real experience, that this just isn't a dream or overactive imagination. And they told me I had all the proof I needed, but they told me I had to go because I can't stay there very long because it does something, but they didn't explain to me what. And the next thing you know, I was back in my body, and I get up, and I've got this big burn mark in the middle of my chest.
Wow.
So I took photographs of it, and I even had doctors look at it, and they said that they've never seen anything like it. And they asked me if it was painful, and I said, no, there's no pain at all. And they said it looked like some kind of a radiation burn, and it actually morphed. The weirdest thing about it was round in the beginning, and then it kind of looked triangular, and then it looked like a heart shape, and then it disappeared, and it left a yellow crust on the surface, and that just washed off, and it was gone. But there's no pain involved at all.
You still have any of those markings?
It's gone. It's totally gone. Mm-hmm. Photographed. I took several photographs of it, and I had... And I actually had witnesses there at the time of the event that saw the actual ship, and it was it matched my experience, because the ship wasn't physical at all. It was just a pure, kind of a golden energy, like a plasma energy. And there was a woman on board, and we had a conversation, and then I came back, and then the ship departed.
How was this woman's behavior? Was she like a goddess type?
She was. It was very powerful. Very. Uh-huh. I mean, it was very humbling. To stand before, because that's the only thing I can say. I'll tell you one of the interesting. Now this is a walk on the wild side if we haven't already gone there. But the weirdest thing was I had a fellow come out and they did reverse speech, and I had two different people do the reverse speech on me. I had David John Oates,
yes,
and John Kelly. And they did reverse speech on the interview, you know, on the Art Bell show. I did one, and then they did another interview. And I was kind of worried about it because they were saying, well, this will bust you if you're not telling the truth. And I said, you know, I think I'm telling the truth.
Right.
You know, it was my experience. I'm telling the best of what I experienced. I said, but I don't even know what truth is anymore, you know. So I went ahead and I said, well, I know I'm sincere and my intent is pure, so I'll just go and see what happens. And so I went on. And what was amazing is that I was saying the exact same thing forward that I was in reverse speech.
I was trying to say that doesn't happen very often, I don't
think. No, and they actually went in depth even more to what I was saying. And when I was talking about these golden ships that are coming in, I said, whoever's on these ships, they're very powerful beings. They're like godlike beings. And I said, that's the only way I can explain it. And when they did reverse speech on me, I said, Sailor Vishnu is his name,
uh-huh.
Clear as a bell.
Uh-huh.
Which takes us back into the, you know, ancient Vedic scriptures where they get clear descriptions of these ships and the different kinds of ships and who's on them and everything.
Well, do you think these are, for lack of a better term, angels?
You know, I think... You know, I haven't really stood before an angel with big wings or anything else. I can't talk about that in, but I could see very clearly how people could mistake these other extremely advanced beings as, you know, four angels or the ancient gods or whatever very easily, because, you know, some of them aren't physical. they have more of a, you know, they explained it, the way they explained it to me is that we're in this third density here, this physical reality, but there's other densities, and there's beings that have less dense physical bodies, and some beings have an energy body, and some beings have a light, you know, a magnetized light body, and then other beings are just pure consciousness. And they said it's part of the evolutionary process. So these beings are
where would we put us, the human race, in our dimension?
We're in the third density and moving out of it through a shift and moving into a less dense frequency. But the problem with moving into the next density, all the negative has to surface, and we're right in that surfacing element right now.
Well, why do you think, did they choose you? Well, they must have. They beamed you aboard.
I didn't understand it in the beginning. You know, I even had things happen to me as a kid that I didn't know what they were. But later on, as I, you know, got more involved, I had a near-death experience which blew me wide open. And then it was after the near-death experience all these other experiences started happening. So what I've come to understand is that, you know, we choose everything, every experience. We choose this life before we come in. And, you know, apparently I've had other lives, not just on this planet, but, you know, other places as well, as a lot of us have. And I chose to come here and incarnate now, just like a lot of other people, to help out, you know, help the Earth go through these shifts and go through these times we're going, and help, you know, keep us evolving into a higher evolution, you might say.
When now you had your near-death experience, you see the tunnel and the light and things like that?
Yeah, I went through the tunnel, and I went through quite a few levels. I saw a lot of different levels, and I ended up in just a golden white light. And it, the only way I can explain it is the light, I was part of the light. You know, I was in kind of a light body, but there was a greater light that surrounded me, and we had it was a consciousness. And it was the most loving, joyous, blissful energy you could imagine. There's no words to describe it. And I had a conversation with this higher consciousness, you know, with God, Source, you know, whatever you want to call it. And,
you remember anything about that conversation?
Yeah, I do. It totally changed my reality, you know. I went to Catholic school when I was a kid, and I was indoctrinated with some images, you know, the old man with the beard that's going to punish you if you don't do this or don't do that. And what I came to realize is that, you know, the nature of God is not anything like a lot of the religions are teaching us. You know, they're teaching us this controlling, condemning God, you know, but it's not a he or a she. It's so far beyond that, you know, you know, there's an old saying, you know, that...
Yeah, you know, I've had other people on before. In fact, years ago, I may have told you this, in Laughlin, had a comedy partner, used to do stand-up comedy years ago, and he had a near-death experience, and it did change his life a lot. He said he didn't want to come back.
Yeah. Conversation, I the first thing I asked was, you know, you want to give something back, just when you experience something like that. You know, the first thing I asked was, how can I stay? I wanted to stay. And then this communication came back to me, and it said, I never told my children when to come or go. That's free will. And I started going, wait a minute, you know, I thought this was all planned out, you know. And so the next thing I asked was, how can I earn the right to stay? And the communication came back to me, and it says, you cannot earn what is given freely and unconditionally. I'm going, wait a minute, you know, this isn't, you know, the being I was taught about. And so the next thing I asked was, how can I serve? You know, what can I do? Because you just, when you're in that mode, you just want to give something back. You know, you're just in awe. And I didn't hear anything for quite a while. I was just floating in this light, and then it came back to me and said, what do you want to do? What brings joy? And I really realized that that's the key, you know. I mean, you were doing God's work, doing your stand-up comedy.
Uh-huh.
You know, the more you can get people to laugh and get back in their joy, the closer they are to the source.
Yeah, I approach my broadcast career and my stand-up comedy the same way. If you're bringing a little joy to people.
Exactly.
I mean, I it's a kind of, for lack of a better term, an evangelism.
Yeah. You know, people don't realize they go to this Swami and this Yogi and Lama and everything else, you know, and if you really want to find an enlightened one, you'll find one that's very simple, that has a great sense of humor, and a lot of times they're very, they're almost mischievous.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, those are the most enlightened ones. They don't take life seriously at all. They see the, you know, the big illusion, the big drama going on.
So now, what about your overall viewpoint when you met this woman? It was similar to your after death or near death experience, but I guess different at the same time.
Yeah, it was a lower level. I'd say it was a lower frequency of vibration, but also it was very advanced. You might say very spiritually advanced.
What's your overall impression about everything? Why Trout Lake? Why do they? Does the Yakima Indians have something to do with this?
Well, you know, they're very involved in it. What's amazing is they've been trying to get people to understand what's going on with all the UFO contacts and everything else up there for quite a few years. And everybody just thinks they're a bunch of drunken Indians, you know, and they put them down and say, oh, yeah, you were out in the woods too long or whatever else, you know. And so nobody was taking them seriously. But when we started doing the investigation, you know, I was working with Steve Marino with PSI application,
uh-huh.
And he came out and did a complete investigation on it, and he found out that, you know, all the history, even it goes back to Kenneth Arnold. When he
that's the first one.
Yeah, the ships actually disappeared on the western slopes of Mount Adams where they went down, and you know that's written in his article. So there's such a long history in this, and you know when we talked to a lot of the Native Americans out there, the tribal police, everybody, they said we see these things all the time, and we've had everything happen here. Greg Long talks about that in his book.
Well, the question is, are they extraterrestrial, interdimensional, spiritual, or all of the above?
You know what? It's all of the above.
Uh-huh.
That's what I've seen. It's like everybody thinks they have the whole pie and they have a piece of the pie. And I've seen that, you know, it goes from low-level contact to, you know, black projects to grays. To all the way up to extremely spiritual experiences and everything in between.
Well, you know, we always look forward to talking to you, and there's so much to cover, and we never feel like we really scratch the surface much, because it's not because you're not forthcoming, you are. It's just that it's just so much to cover. It gets very deep.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of things they're warning us about, you know, the condition of the planet. You know, they're not happy at all about, you know, the wars and all the other things going on here. I mean, they've given some very, very serious warnings about, you know, where we're headed.
The thumbnail, what kind of warnings stand out? I mean, the environment seems like it's threatened pretty much.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've got 50 dead zones in the ocean. Some of them are 700 miles long. And the oxygen levels are falling rapidly on the planet right now. And you know, whenever you take the oxygen away, the lower the oxygen levels go, the less people function mentally and physically. Their bodies start, you know, being taken over by opportunistic diseases and things of that nature. So, you know, oxygen is what keeps things going. It bacteria and viruses and things like that, it keeps them down, keeps them low. But, you know, as soon as the oxygen levels start falling, you know, everything just starts kind of going.
So really, James, you kind of feel like this is all intertwined and all connected. Everything from the oxygen water to your near-death experience to the UFOs to your contacts, they all seem to fall in place.
It does. It's all connected. What I found out is when you reach a certain level of consciousness in your spiritual endeavors, they find you. But you also have to be careful because there's other pitfalls, and you have to make sure who you're working with and who you're talking to. So
What do you mean by that?
Well, it's as above, so below. It's there are, we have an old saying, just because you're dead doesn't mean you're enlightened, And so there, you could be talking to, a being on the other side or from the other world, and they could think they're the chosen ones, and they get these messiah complexes, and they get drunk on, the spiritual energy or the powers coming in, and then, they end up taking a fall and take a lot of people with them.
Do you think you've met any of the, for lack of a better term, the demonic side?
Yeah, I have. It's part of the journey. You have to learn how to deal with it. Even the higher beings will allow it to happen because it's part of the teachings that come with it. You have to learn there's, a good side and a not so good side, and how to deal with the not so good side. Keep your energies clear, and how to, move on unseen negative energies and clear them out of your space.
Yeah, you hear some people say, well, good and evil is all relative, but I guess actually this contact that you've had, they seem pretty clear about what is good and what is bad, right?
Well, they kind of, it's kind of interesting. They just call it kind of misqualified energy or misuse of energy, the way they look at it. The way I look at it, cow manure is great, when it's in your field and in your garden, but you don't want it in your bed,
That's a good analogy.
Yeah, everything has its place, sometimes the dark is you got to have the dark side of the ladder so you can climb the ladder, basically. So, they say what doesn't, kill you will heal you sometimes. So
for our listeners here, as we're getting ready to ramp this up, what would be the message you'd like to most get out there? Is this going to happen to all of us, or do some of us just go through life and go away and nothing happens? What happens? Is everybody blessed to have a continuing life?
Well,
Or do you know?
Free will and it's a choice. Uh-huh. And some people have chosen a short stay here. Some people have chosen a longer stay. You can overcome just about anything if you put your mind to it and, do the research. But, it's a lot of it has to do with just having your priorities and values in order. What they say is their main message is they want us to get our consciousness and our environment in order and start choosing to live a wholesome, spiritual, natural way of life, because that's in accordance with universal law. And when you veer away from that, you start having all the problems. That's where all the pollution comes from, and all the synthetics and the food that's dead now and everything else. It came from veering away from the natural order of things.
Well, James, anything else you'd like to mention that we haven't before we... I want to plug the website one more time, but...
BSETI.org.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
They can go to that, and... the main thing is we're going to go through some very, fast times here. There's going to be intense changes on every level. And they've been talking a lot about that, and we just have to kind of roll with the punches and stay, keep our hearts pure and our minds clear and work in service to humanity and the earth, through these changes, and we'll get through. But if we continue to do the materialistic greed and, the other things, it's going to be a very hard, rocky road, because everything's accelerated. Time hasn't accelerated. Creation is accelerating. And so between, our attitudes, emotions, and thoughts, and things like that, they're coming home to roost, and our actions as well. So everything is being accelerated. And so, the people that have been basically good people and helping their neighbors and things of that nature are going to have a lot of good things coming back to them. And it's going to be the opposite for the people that put a lot of...
In other words, some of the old platitudes, karma or the golden rule or you reap what you sow, they're true.
It's that simple. People find all these ways to intellectually, validate, killing, the other children of God out there, things like that. Or destroying nature and, polluting lakes and the air. They validate it, they have all these reasons, reasons to continue doing it, but the bottom line is it's out of alignment and there's severe consequences for it.
What, do you think you'll have another contact?
It's pretty much ongoing. Wherever I am, they seem to be hanging out, but it's been a little slow lately. I don't know what's going on. I haven't had time to really check in, but it's for some reason, we seem to be in a lull right now. You know, in our area, there's not a lot flying in the skies because we usually have things flying almost every night. But I'm sure it'll pick up again this summer.
You don't really have an explanation for that. This is kind of an observation.
Yeah, I haven't even been able to. You know, I've been working so hard getting this water out. I haven't had any time to actually check in on it.
You know, a lot of people come up there. Most other contacts that other people have had, or have other people had contacts besides you?
Oh, lots of people have had contact.
Are they always the same type beings?
No, they're different. There's so many different. You know, the problem with a lot of the research done up here is when people would see the beings or the ships, they would run almost every time. You know, when they had an encounter, they would get in their cars and just get the heck out of Dodge and freak out because, you know, the fear took over. But if you can conquer your fear and get past that and hang out for a little while, you know, you might have a pretty incredible experience.
Okay, James, we'll be talking to you again probably toward the spring, and who knows, we may see you in Laughlin
again. Okay, great. Well, okay. Thank you for having me.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right.